The choices you have to make can be difficult and may alter your life forever. When you're under too much pressure, it's hard to go it alone. Now you don't have to. Whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, time management, family issues, relationships, self-sabotage, guilt, shame, or just need some wisdom and helpful insight, this program is the answer. Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. Kamish is a licensed mental health therapist with HealingYourHiddenHurts.com and who also shares her knowledge as an expert author, speaker, and radio personality. You don't have to just survive. You can thrive. Here's Kamish Nunley.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, and today I am extremely excited, not only for our guest today, but also because we have a few announcements concerning this radio show. The first announcement is that we are currently running a Help Us Fight Trauma and Abuse campaign through our website, which is today's sponsor, HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. And that's basically so that we can reach out to the community and take our message across inner cities and across central Indiana. So if you're interested in that, please visit our website at HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Our other big announcement today is that we'd like to welcome back to our show for about maybe the fifth time Nathan McGuire, who is a marriage and family therapist as well as youth minister and spiritual direction coach. Welcome to the show again, Nathan.
Hello. Thank you for having me on today, Commissioner.
No problem. And the announcement is that starting in January, Nathan will be joining us as our co-host. So we are very excited to welcome him here on Healing Conversations as we explore multiple mental health issues and topics together. So I know I'm excited, Nathan. I hope you're just as excited.
Yes, I am. I think this is going to be an excellent partnership.
Absolutely, absolutely. Another announcement that we have for today is introducing our monthly seminars. So I know that a lot of times we don't get a lot of live listeners. However, if you're just tuning in, you have an opportunity to join us virtually for our webinars that are covering the gamut of anxiety disorders to parenting 101. So if you're interested in that, also please visit our website at healingyourhiddenhurts.com under the events tab. Now, our format for Healing Conversations will also be changing just a bit. Not only are we adding Nathan as a co-host, but we're going to be piloting our programming based on different series having to do with trauma-related illnesses. And what's unique insofar as adding Nathan to our show is that we get to talk about the world of psychology and combining that with the world of theology on various topics. And so for today, just to kick that off and kind of get our feet wet, we are going to be doing that, but we're going to be talking today about how our relationships with our biological parents can and oftentimes do mirror our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, Nathan, of course, is more versed in the theological aspects, but I will be speaking to you the psychological components of our discussion today. So, Nathan, why don't you start us off with what do you think in terms of how our relationships with our biological parents can and oftentimes do mirror that of our relationship with our Heavenly Father?
Yeah, I see it all the time in the midst of my practice. And it's really a phenomenon Freud first pretty much coined when he regarded God as an illusion based on the infantile need for a powerful father figure. When you study Freud, he had this to me, debate between is there a God, and you look at his story, he had this interesting relationship with his father. And so you begin to understand that Freud himself needed a therapist, right? He hadn't really totally gone through his understanding of how he viewed God because of his relationship with his father. So what you discover is your first God, if you will, as a child entering this earth, is your, you know, really, it's your parents, right? The God you experience, the higher power that helps feed you, clothe you, take care of you, these people that are supposed to love you unconditionally, they pretty much set your foundation on how you see the world. But these people are your parents. And so it's really powerful as you begin to talk to people and ask them about their spiritual views, and they will altogether begin to describe that how they view God is the same way as they view their parents. So I see this all the time when I'm working with people, and kind of help people kind of delineate the difference between their parents and their spiritual orientation.
Yes. And so when we journey into the psychological realm of things, do you find that, because I know oftentimes you speak on rejection, forgiveness, and abandonment, do you find that coming into play where men or women have issues with abandonment with their parents?
Yes. So I'll give an example. I will talk to a person who maybe they were adopted. And they will begin to talk to me about some of the insecurities that they have experienced throughout their life. But when we begin to talk about God, they will have a really hard time trusting God. One of the reasons that they will have a hard time trusting God is because their first God, their parent, abandoned them. And so, you know, the natural thought is, if my parent, my first God, would abandon me and they were not there for me and they could, you know, in essence, I wasn't good enough, then how could I be good enough for God if I wasn't even good enough for a human being? And so kind of taking them through that, but knowing that that first instant with a parent is something we have to work through to get literally the parent out of the way. It's what we learn in therapy, right? As therapists, you learn what it means to project on someone.
Yes.
And we don't realize that we do the same thing to God, where we will project subconsciously our parent onto God.
Right. Now, when you use the term work through, I have kind of a two-part question. When you use the term work through, what exactly does that until when you have someone who comes into your office and sits down, and of course they probably haven't identified the problem as being distant with God or, you know, having that a part of the equation. So what is it that you do that begins the process, I guess, of healing their relationship with God based on how they view their biological parents?
Well, I'll tell you, being, you know, I was first trained at a really conservative Bible college. And one of the things that I really enjoyed was they really had a way of just studying the text and studying what does the text say about who God is versus your perspective of who God is. And so going through that process, it was very clear to me that the person that this text may say God is was very different from the person that the client was projecting God to be. And so I could, because of my training, I had the ability to point out that the differences, right? The differences, like, and it depends on their spiritual orientation, but many of them from either, you know, the bigger ones, such as if they were Jewish, if they were Muslim or Christian, the text clearly points out that our God, our Heavenly Father, will never leave us or forsake us. Right? So taking them through this process of literally casting a new image for them, based on many times the text that they had studied was already giving them this message, but they could not accept it or receive it because of what they had gone through in their own lives. So literally just kind of taking them through a process of allowing them to see what does some of the text that they study. Now, Kamish, even if they had not studied the text,
right.
One of my favorite things is spiritual direction, where I would begin to show them at times in their lives where they would admit to themselves where they believed God was there for them. And kind of taking them back to those places, like, now, wait a minute, you're saying that God isn't necessarily there, he wouldn't be there, but you just told me several times in your narrative he was there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you forgotten that? You know, altogether, usually, the answer is yes. I have forgotten. He was there for me. I did make it. And so kind of going through that process, you know, in the Old Testament, there are so many stories where God would send these messengers, and he would go to the children of Israel and say, have you forgotten that I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt? Have you forgotten that it was me that did this and me that did that? Yes, we get amnesia. We forget. The cares of this world and trauma and anxiety causes us to forget the times where this same so-called higher power has been there for us. But taking them through that process and then therapeutically helping them heal from their childhood and showing them that those wounds are so powerful, they have now clouded your view of God.
Right, right. And you also use the term projection. Now, you and I know the clinical reference of projection. Could you explain for our audience today how projection actually works, and how does it interfere if they have abandonment issues with their biological parents?
You know, transference, right, you know, or counter, it's this phenomenon we have to study and get trained in and do our work, because if we do not, as therapists, we don't deal with this projection, we can hurt people. So mm-hmm. we have to go into our childhood and find our wounds and make sure that when we come into the space with an individual, that reminds us of somebody growing up that may have hurt us, or even somebody we like, that we do our work so that we will not project what we think or feel onto an individual, that we take a character in our life and then project this character onto an individual in
right.
the room, and we don't realize that we're doing that. So we also do the same projecting to God. And so we will project on God who we want God to be. We will project on to God who we feel, based on someone in our lives that was a God figure, and we will believe that God operates and thinks the same way as this individual. Many times, Kamish, the person we're projecting onto God is ourselves.
Right, right. right.
And mm-hmm. We think God thinks like we think and feels like we mm-hmm. feel, and it's just really dangerous. And how we view the so-called higher power, and you know, really allowing people to have self-awareness or mindfulness to catch, you know, their tendency to do so.
Right, right. No, and that's so very powerful. I think that you explained this idea of projection very thoroughly, and I think our listeners can definitely gain an understanding of how maybe even if they're not doing in their Christian lives, they're doing it in other ways or other avenues of their lives. So why don't we go ahead and take our first break? And when we come back, we'll talk more on theology and psychology and if the two can coexist. Stay tuned here on Healing Conversations.
The effects of trauma can last a lifetime. Pain, confusion, anxiety, depression, grief. Healing Your Hidden Hurts is a safe, serene environment dedicated to guiding you along your journey toward healing. The compassionate clinicians at Healing Your Hidden Hurts can provide the support, advocacy, and expertise to help you move forward again, regain stability. From fear to faith, despair to hope. Visit HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Speak to a clinician today. Don't go at it alone. HealingYourHiddenHurts.com.
Now, back to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley. And if you're just joining us today, we are talking with marriage and family therapist, Mr. Nathan McGuire, who is also shedding light on this new idea, or should I say old idea, rebirth, on the combination of theology and psychology in reference to our relationships with our biological parents, resembling that of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Nathan has shared so far some very profound information in regards to how our relationships with our biological parents can and does mirror that in our spiritual lives. And I'd like to take a second and pause, because I know that, Nathan, this has been done before. And I oftentimes don't think that, at least coming from the theological perspective, that people know it's possible to combine the two. Can you speak to maybe the historical perspectives of this and when it first started, and how it is currently used today?
Well, I'll say that, you know, in the midst of, I think it was, what, when I was at Crossroads Bible College, and this was just in like from 99 to like 2004, there is a big movement, and it's called New Study Counseling. It's a biblical-based counseling. And I'll never forget, I was in the midst of, you know, discovering my own gift and therapy, and I told my professor I was going to this liberal school to get this marriage and family therapy degree, and he looked at me commish like I was going to lose my salvation, right? Like, you know, he told me that. He said, you know, you're going to go there and lose your salvation, as if I got my salvation from the Bible college, right?
Right,
so,
right.
You know, as I started doing this work, it just became very clear to me that psychology is really taboo and have been for a long time in Christian circles. And it was like the time where, you know, if you were a scientist, you could not be a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you could not be a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
It was as if that if you say I'm a scientist and I believe in evolution, you know, you're full of the devil and you don't believe in God, and vice versa. And now it's progressive where there's integration between science, theology, and it's called creation. So you have what you call today creationist, where you can be a scientist and believe in God at the same time and not be seen as a lunatic or ignorant. So the same thing is really happening in psychology, where in order to be a psychologist, you couldn't be a Christian. In order to be a Christian, you couldn't be a psychologist. And now there's something called integration, where the Christians are saying, you know what, we have to admit there are personality issues and disorders as pastors we don't really understand. And the psychologists are saying, you know what, there is resiliency in faith.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand this faith thing. And so I can't necessarily pinpoint the historical aspects of when this started, but I do know that it is happening right now. In the school I went to, Christian Theological Seminary, they were really big on what you call postmodern therapy and the integration piece. But many of us don't necessarily know how to do it, right?
Right.
So there's a belief in it. There's an understanding. But, you know, how to do it tends to be another art. But that's what's happening. I'm so excited about it. But that's what's happening right now, where we're not either or. We're both and. You know, many of the older cultures, they don't delineate the two anyway. It's really a American and European thing to delineate, to heal the soul, that you need to be just clinical or just spiritual, when really they're one and the same. So that's the phenomenon that's happening right now all over this country.
And in those cultures, they oftentimes refer to it as mind, body, and spirit, right?
Yeah.
And so,
but, you know, for instance, like Tai Chi, right? You have something that is dealing with the mind, the body, the movement, the meditation, you know, that they're all one and the same.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I oftentimes would get confused because, you know, going through my college career, myself and my husband both majored in psychology, and my husband coming from a stronger Christian background than I, was discouraged to do that and said that, you know, similar to the messaging that they delivered to you, that that's more, you know, satanic, that's, you know, the belief in science and you can't believe in science and Christianity at the same time because of the different theories. And, you know, we would oftentimes poke jokes at, you know, the different things that would be thrown up to us in terms of that. But it's such a strong pool, for you to choose. And when I would tell people either within my family or in others, you know, I'm just as much of a Christian as a mental health therapist as I would be even if I weren't. And, you know, my beliefs don't change because I help people. In fact, I think my beliefs strengthen because this is like having a ministry. And so to your point, I wonder sometimes if we get outside of this ideal of having to be separate, if it would maybe even expedite the healing process for us as individuals or even for us as communities. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's an excellent point. I think that it's imperative. I don't think there is healing. If you're just dealing, you know, the best illustration to me is it comes from watching Channel 5 back in the Kung Fu channel, right? And you'd have
Bruce Lee.
Martial arts, and you would have the Americans sometimes that were posed against their Asian counterparts, and the Americans were so fixated on the physical and working out, you know, doing the exercise of getting the move just right. Then they would go to their Asian counterparts who were doing the physical and the spiritual, and they were levitating, and they were hopping off houses and jumping around and shooting things out of their mouth, moving things, because they knew that you should operate with both, that you're powerful and you're tapping into different parts of your being, and it's not just physical. And so you're at a disadvantage when you are just operating clinically. And so, or what we call clinically. So, no, I think you're exactly right. And, you know, what would blow me away, Kamish, is when I'm talking to clients who had kind of gone through just like a cognitive behavioral where there was no spirituality, and I begin to ask them spiritual questions, their hair would come down. They would begin to relax and say, oh, my gosh, I've always wanted to bring up the fact that my whole life is run from the fact that I feel like I'm cursed by God. That's never come up in a session. Nobody's ever asked me that. And so thank you for asking me about my spirituality, because really it drives me every day.
Yes. Now, I have only known it to exist on what we call like intake forms, which are those forms that clients fill out prior to coming to their session. And there's oftentimes on those forms, is your problem related to some spiritual aspect, or do you believe in God, that type of thing? And it just lie dormant on that paper. And sometimes I think it was glossed over because we as therapists don't know how necessarily to bridge the gap without feeling we have to be all one way, versus the other. Do you ever notice that question being used as a point in therapy, when clients answer on those intake forms? I'm not sure if you're familiar with those.
Yes, yes. So in our training at CTS, that was a part of the intake process. And then when I was at Second Presbyterian, it was also, let me say this, that we also have to remember that there has been great abuse in Christendom, in some of these religious circles. And so, you know, many times the therapists were doing their best not to proselytize, too.
Yes.
To balance this out, we have to address that sometimes religion, when they have a form of counseling, it can be very dogmatic. It can be very judgmental. And so I think there was such a wave against that, that what I would even find at CTS is you have so many Americans that have been traumatized by religion, but especially Christianity or a form of Christianity. So many times when you look in the story of clinicians, they've been traumatized and sometimes have become therapists because of some religious parents they had, you know, the funny part. So they are trying not to do that, so much so that they're not offering space for a person to explore the spirituality that they want to explore, right? So even though it may be on the form, if it is not in the therapist, then it doesn't matter if it's on the form or not, because the therapist themselves does not feel comfortable navigating these areas. So sometimes they will have a condescending attitude, which your husband may have felt, you know, because, Commissioner, I have to admit that when I came into the training, it was at a time where in a school that was open and very progressive. So if I would have came into any other program, I might have reacted the same way.
Absolutely.
To be quite honest, I think that's why there sometimes aren't as many African Americans in the world of therapy or counseling, because spirituality is so big to us that when we feel someone being condescending to it or belittling, altogether push away from it.
Right, right. And that has been researched. And I know that there was a young woman who came out from, I want to say Georgia, by the name of Dr. Franklin Boyd, or Boyd Franklin. And she was talking about marrying mental health with the church and creating mental health ministries. And in her book, I think is where I noticed it first, is how when we approach African American populations, we'll oftentimes lose them when discussing mental health issues. But if we talk about, you know, a strength within that community, which is the church in our faith, they're more apt to, I guess, listen up. And so I think what you just said is founded based on that being a strength for African Americans is their faith. And marrying the two is just somehow proven to be very difficult in our community, meaning the African American community. And I still even find, and am sometimes disgusted, I should be desensitized by now, but when I mention what I do within African American churches or with minority populations, there's this, oh my God, I can't talk to her. I don't want her to think I'm crazy, or, you know, and they say that they spew this negativity on the field. And I'm like, now wait a minute, you know, because I do revere my career as a ministry. I feel like God has vessels and he uses people, to make an impact in lives. And in fact, in my book that is one day hopefully going to be released, I talk about it insofar as being divine downloads and angelic gestures that we get from person to person. So before we move on, I want to take a quick break. But when we return, we're going to find out how all this applies to dealing with abandonment, rejection, and repairing family relationships, and in return, your relationship with God. So stay tuned right here on Healing Conversations.
The effects of trauma can last a lifetime. Pain, confusion, anxiety, depression, grief. Healing Your Hidden Hurts is a safe, serene environment dedicated to guiding you along your journey toward healing. The compassionate clinicians at Healing Your Hidden Hurts can provide the support, advocacy, and expertise to help you move forward again, regain stability. From fear to faith, despair to hope. Visit HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Speak to a clinician today. Don't go at it alone. HealingYourHiddenHurts.com.
You're listening to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, and we are joined today with our brand new co-host beginning in January 2015, marriage and family therapist, a youth minister, Nathan McGuire. And today Nathan is talking with us about marrying theology with psychology on the specific topic of relationships in your family having to do with your parental relationships and how that's mirrored in your relationship with God. Now, we've talked quite a bit on this topic and how it's possible to marry theology with psychology. And in detail, how do we go about, Nathan, repairing what has been done in terms of what has interfered with our relationship with Christ? How do we start to heal those wounds with our own parents and subsequently with God?
Okay, so one of the things that I try to point out to the clinical world and the spiritual world, our text that I call Masters of Spiritual Direction, the writers of these profound texts, and how they are so clinical. Let me tell you one of the deepest ones that have helped me help people heal. One of them is found in Ephesians, and it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the love and admonition of the Lord." So I begin to try to show people how things that happen with their parents, how it wounded them, and how they are still suffering from the wound. The wound, it says, is when kids are not loved unconditionally, or they are exasperated. So sometimes, you know, when I'm doing this work, I begin to find that people are totally unaware of how they have been wounded. Okay, mm-hmm. So they don't even know that there's a problem. Once we begin to dig and I find out, what is it from your parent that you feel, what was the need that wasn't totally met, or you wish you had a little bit more? As soon as I get that, I'm able to show them how they're still angry about that and how that manifests in their life today. Because what the text suggests is that if your parent was not Jesus the Christ, right, then they did something that provoked you to anger. And
yes,
we have to find out what that is. The next thing it goes into saying is that if you don't forgive, what will happen to you? That unforgiveness, it calls it a tool of Satan. So many of us then have these things that have happened in our childhood, and we haven't forgiven. And so when you haven't forgiven, you know, Kamish, all the things that are caused from unforgiveness, from the heart, to the issues, to the stress, the anxiety, the pain, sicknesses that are caused. So it is to point out what has happened in your childhood for you to address it, and then for you to learn to forgive it and to see areas that if you have not forgiven it, you are repeating it in your
yes.
life.
And I'm glad you speak to that, Nathan, because, okay, I can admit I'm human and I didn't, you know, fully believe in telling even my clients to forgive something or someone. And part of that was because I was stuck in my own level of unforgiveness from past issues that I had in my relationship with my parents. And so, you know, just kind of to display how human we are, we make errors when we haven't done the work fully ourselves. And so part of me was really hesitant, and sometimes I still am, in telling someone, well, you have to forgive your parents or whomever for what they've done, because what I find sometimes, Nathan, is people will get on this journey to forgiveness and it'll be almost forced in a sense, and then they're asking questions, well, have I really forgiven them, or am I just saying that I forgive them, or what does it look like to actually forgive them? And then start to set up this guilt-shame cycle because they're not sure if they've really forgiven. And it's such a construct that sometimes for me even is hard to accept and embrace because it feels forced.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's something that needs to develop naturally as a result of doing the work. And so it's really hard for me even today, and I'll admit this, and I know I'm going to hear from you about it. It's hard for me to say, you need to forgive. And also, too, let me say this before you start, because I don't want them to believe that in order to heal fully, they have to forgive fully. I think there's levels. I think, and I might sound silly, and you'll correct me, I'm sure, but I think there's levels of forgiveness that go along with levels of healing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Okay, so now the language I am using with you is, you know, that you would need to forgive. The language that I would use with the client is I would go on a discovery to find out if that is what it is that would be most helpful to them. So I would not tell them this is what they need to do. I would tell them first if they even feel like there's something that's been done to them. We discover that, see if that is true. And then I would show them that if it is forgiveness that would bring them health, let me show you how unforgiveness will affect you. Let's look at if you have the symptoms of unforgiveness. Once we go down that road and they begin to see, man, yeah, I have all the symptoms of unforgiveness in my heart. And then once they see that, then we go down the road of if you are ready to even go on that journey of forgiveness, this is what forgiveness looks like. Because I don't want you to try to forgive and you do it wrong. You begin to go down this process of forgiveness that is not really forgiveness. You just think that is. So when you get ready, or if you think it is necessary, this would be the healthiest way to forgive someone. These are the steps you would take. So, no, you're right. You should, you know, I don't preach at people. My goal is to invite you to see what it would look like to be healthy and to heal, and then to encourage you but not condemn you.
Yes.
Condemnation in itself is abusive.
And productive, absolutely.
The Bible clearly says that this character called Satan or evil is the father of condemnation. And so those who condemn are of their father. And so the last thing that I ever do in this space is condemn.
And so I think what I do is that I oftentimes tell people who feel like, I just got to let it go. I say, well, no, it's not about letting it go, because to me, that's not really dealing with the problem. It's more so like distracting or avoiding it. But you do have to accept that it occurred, and there's not much that you can do to change the fact that it has occurred. And during that process of acceptance, I think forgiveness creates an avenue for itself. Does that make sense?
Let me show you. Yeah, and I'll tell you, one of the things that this is where my spirituality has advanced my psychology. Because any time that I see anything spiritual that so-called this higher power that hypothetically would have made our brain, he would be the ultimate psychologist, right? So I do these scientific experiments, and I say, well, if God is saying this is true about who he made, let's see clinically what clinicians are saying about that. And then when clinicians come up with something that works, I look to say, okay, what does the ultimate psychologist say about that? And this is what I've discovered. God talks about this forgiveness, and he calls it a tool of Satan when you don't forgive people, meaning that it is a tool or device, they call it. Do not be ignorant of his device. It's a device that you've placed in your heart that is not your device. So what we do is we'll have unforgiveness in our heart for a particular individual, but we think we're in control of that. And so unforgiveness is like dye in water. You place dye in water thinking, I'm going to control where this dye goes. No, you're not. So you go from, I don't forgive this one person, to I don't forgive my friend, to I don't forgive my husband, I don't forgive my child, I don't forgive myself, I don't forgive God. It is poison that goes throughout the heart. The other thing is, whatever you don't let go of, you become, right? So I watch as people will come in, and it is really, Kamish, set me free of a lot of things, because I've seen this time and time again. Best example, I had a father come in here, and he said, my father wasn't in my life. I promised I would never do my kids like that, right? And he said, but I'm angry at my father. He wasn't in my life. I'm not going to be like him. I don't need to forgive him. He doesn't matter. He doesn't exist. But I go to all my kids' games and everything. So I bring his kids in, and I say, hey, how is your dad? And they say, well, we don't know him. He comes into our games. He comes to all our sports, but he's just sad, and he looks off in a chair, and we really don't know him at all, right? So he was really doing the same thing as his father was. He just couldn't see it. Although he thought he was in his kid's life, he really wasn't. He was angry. He was depressed. He was abandoning them the same way his father abandoned him, but he couldn't see it because of his anger. And so I've seen it time and time again that, you know, whatever you don't let go of, you're holding on to it, so then you become it.
Right.
And, you know, you have people that their parents are really mean, and they say, well, I'm not going to be mean. And you ask their family, and they say, they're mean as hell. You know, they can't. But they compare it to the meanness. Right? The spectrum of meanness of their parent. So their parent might have been a 10 and they're an 8, but they're still mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they say, I'm not as mean as my parents, so that's not mean. It's like, well, you mean as hell to them. They don't know your parents. You know, so it is powerful. It is true. You know, if you don't let go of things, it hinders you in your life. And so it's very important for people to see the power of not forgiving and the power of forgiving. And
yes.
That's what it means for a generational curse. It means you haven't let go of something and you're passing it down from generation to generation.
Right. And something that you always speak to that I love when you talk about is your children see it, they observe it, and they grow up to marry it. Tell us what you mean when you say that.
This is another area where my spirituality is affecting my psychology. My psychology has allowed me to deeply understand my spirituality and what it is God was saying.
Absolutely.
The Imago therapy, Harville Hendrix, who I think is a genius, came up with this process, and he says that you are looking for the positives and negatives of your childhood and you marry it. The Bible says the same thing. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. That simply means psychologically. Children do not do what you say. They do what you model, and then they marry it, right? So whatever you're doing at home, your children record it in their psyche, and it's home to them. And so when they go after a spouse, they marry home. Mm. If it's not home, they won't want anything to do with it because it's not home to them. That's
Absolutely.
Why people will get in relationships with somebody, and somebody very nice. I know women say this all the time. He's too nice. He just doesn't do it for me, right? What they're saying is he does not have enough of the negatives that are home to me. So if you grew up where somebody was distant, you will marry someone that tends to be distant.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that person that tends to be distant not to be.
Right. You know, that makes...
Go ahead.
That makes perfect sense. And, you know, as I share that, since learning it with my clients, they kind of are able to look internally and really evaluate the relationships in their life, not just the relationships with their significant others, but the relationships with friends and coworkers and even me as a therapist. And so I think it's so incredible how we are creatures of havoc. We are creatures of habit. And so I do appreciate you sharing that. We're going to take our last break here. But when we return, we're going to talk about some things that Nathan has going on with his company and some of the talks that he has coming up, as well as what our partnership will relent for 2015. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you back here soon.
You're listening to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, and we have had a powerful show thus far talking about the concept of marrying theology with psychology on the specific topic of healing your relationships with your parents and therefore healing your relationship with our Heavenly Father. Nathan, I do want to thank you for coming on today's show and talking so eloquently about this work and us continuing to do this work together. I know that I'm very excited, but I want to learn a little bit about what's going on over in Empower Counseling, Coaching, and Spiritual Direction, and what's next for you.
First of all, I just want to say thank you, Kamish. I think we had our first show, just the partnership that we have and a lot of the awesome things I think we're doing together. I'm going to get in a little bit about that, but, my radio show, number one, I went from just one Monday out of the month to every Monday, and that's on 1310 AM, and I'm going to continue to do that. The other thing that I'm expanding to, I'm also doing what you call life coaching. So I'm offering phone sessions internationally. So from Skyping to people just calling in from around the country to help them for the spiritual direction piece and the life coaching, and then finding different ways to expand my practice. Of which, you know, I'm hoping, Ms. Kamish Nunley, we're talking about doing some things together.
Absolutely.
So that's a plan out there. And then also, being a part of your show, I think it's just exciting. I love working with you. You spoke earlier about, that this is a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
This is something God has called and created us to do. And, there's nothing like meeting people that have your same passions and desire to partner with. So, I got a lot going on, I need some help, doing all these things. And, I think I have a partner in crime, it looks like, but that's a little bit of what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I look forward to it as well. And I always have felt that God will put the right people in your path. And once you join together, it's just harmony. So I do appreciate your willingness to be a part of this show, as well as your willingness to partner outside of the show on some ventures to help heal our community, because we do have a community that is suffering at the moment. So when we venture into this new partnership, I guess I should set up, over the next couple of episodes, we're going to be posting on TalkZone.com what our upcoming shows in January, February, and on are going to look like. And they're going to be presented in the form of different series. And we're going to try to engage a lot of participants in our series. And it's unique because, you know, online radio, Nathan, you don't necessarily have the ability to speak to people in a live arena, but oftentimes people will hear your show or your past recorded shows. And so I think by setting this up early, we can get participants involved with just submitting questions and their stories to Healing Conversations and talk about how we can help them heal. And so in January, our first series, of course, is going to be on domestic violence, and we're going to do maybe 4 or 5 shows about that. And then we're just going to change from topic to topic with the consideration of marrying theology with psychology and how both influence the healing process. So I'm really hoping that we can touch a lot of lives through this new format, through this new collaboration between you and I, and also help to drive our campaign. Again, that campaign is Help Us Fight Trauma and Abuse, and you can get a free t-shirt by donating to that fund and helping us to reach lives all over central Indiana and hopefully nationally. So I don't know if you, Nathan, would like to speak to our partnership coming up in 2015.
I'll tell you this, Commission, it's just quite some time ago I prayed about, and it's funny who kind of sparked this, but I was watching, out of all people, Rush Limbaugh, and he had a big gold mic, and he was talking to the world, and they were talking about the success this guy has that is, talking to the world, his platform. And I never forget, Commissioner, I said, God, why can't I have a big gold mic and spread your love and healing? I would love to do that. Why can't I have a mic that is telling how you love them and you care for them and helping them heal from confusion and fear? And I think, Kamish, that's happening. I think you're helping me do that, and I hope to help you do that. And so absolutely. I just think it's our purpose and what we've been called to do, and I don't think anything will stop it if absolutely. We are spreading the love of God.
Absolutely. So if you're listening in today, here's how it works. Log on to talkzone.com/healingconversations and look at our topics to come. If you're interested in possibly getting your story read on the air and having Nathan and I talk about the problem that you present, please submit it to hccnquestions@gmail.com. That's hccnquestions@gmail.com. Thank you again for tuning in, and thank you, Nathan, for joining us as our guest today. And I know we are going to change lives across the world together in our next episodes to come. Join us again next time as we further explore theology and psychology and how we are going to marry it with any problems that we come up against. You've been listening to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley, where we believe what makes you vulnerable can also make you beautiful. Till next time, take care.